from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, we're coming at you from Las Vegas, and I am glad you're joining us for Verve Online. At Verve, we are all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down with love. I'm Vince Antonucci. I'm the lead pastor of Verve, but who are you? That's what we're going to talk about today. Who are you really? It's a question I've wrestled with a lot in my life. Growing up, I realized that my parents didn't intend to have me. That actually the only reason they ended up together was because they had me. In fact, when they had me, my father was wanted by the police and maybe the FBI. So they used a fake name to register at the hospital for my birth and gave me a fake last name, Shuffle, Vincent Shuffle. But then they got a fake birth certificate on which they put my real name, Antonucci, Vincent Antonucci, which is also my father's name, Vincent Antonucci. Well, my dad was a poker player here in Las Vegas, and he was a con man. He swindled people out of money. He'd figure out ways to take their entire life savings. He abandoned my family when I was 11 and then spent the rest of his life in and out of jail. He ended up starting a business with a famous retired baseball player, Ted Williams, and he was convicted in 1992 for stealing $37,800 from Ted Williams. He was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison and 10.5 years of probation, but he got out early. He was released in 1995. Then he skipped out on his probation, and he was put on America's Most Wanted. Yep, for skipping out on probation, but it got them Ted Williams on the show. I was finishing up an internship at a church and had just been hired to start my first real associate pastor job. I got a call on Sunday night, March 19th, 1995. It was the pastor of the church that hired me. He said, "Are you watching America's Most Wanted?" I said, "No, I never have." He said, "You might want to put it on. Your dad's on it." I said, "Do I still have a job?" Well, I did, and my wife and I moved in May to this new city, new church, and on my first Sunday, a guy came up to me after the service in the lobby. He said, "Hey, did they say your name is Vince Antonucci?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you want to hear something hysterical? There's an article in Sports Illustrated this week about a con man named, you'd never guess it, Vince Antonucci." I was like, "Yeah, that is hysterical." And I don't know, that story, it may sound funny, but it wasn't. My whole life I wrestled with, I have the same name as that guy. I have the same DNA. Am I going to live the same life? Am I destined to make the same mistakes, to hurt people in the same way? Am I just born with this defect? Have you ever seen the bins at a cheap clothing store that say irregular? It's like shirts that were made wrong. That's what I wondered about me. Maybe I was just made wrong. You ever wonder that? It may be your family's past. Might be your parents or your grandparents, your family of origin. It might be your past, things you've done, mistakes you've made. Does the past define you? Is who you are who they were? Or what you've done, or what was done to you, is that your identity? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today as we continue our new series, I Want a Movie Life. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. Well, today, the movie we're going to try to learn about God and ourselves from is Star Wars 9, The Rise of Skywalker, the last ever Star Wars movie. until it's not the last ever Star Wars movie. And I want to warn you, there's going to be spoilers today. But I mean, you've had your chance. It came out last Christmas. So, to take you back, in the beginning of this new Star Wars trilogy, in the movie The Force Awakens, we were introduced to Rey. She is an orphan who was left alone on the planet Jakku. Rey is smart and brave and tough and resourceful. She's a scavenger who scrapes together enough to get by on by finding things out in the desert. She has no real memories of her childhood. She has no idea who her parents were. She has no last name. In fact, Star Wars fans left The Force Awakens wondering, who are Rey's parents? And how does finding out who her parents are play into the bigger picture of Star Wars? Well, in the next movie, The Last Jedi, Kylo Ren, who is a Jedi who was seduced to the dark side, is trying to bring Rey over with him to the dark side. And he asks her, do you know the truth about your parents? She fights back tears and says, they were nobody. Kylo says, they were filthy junk traders, sold you off for drinking money. They're dead in a pauper's grave in the Jakku Desert. You come from nothing. You're nothing. But not to me. And you hear that and you wonder, is he telling her the truth? Because I'm not sure if you should trust a guy who aspires to be the Dark Lord and as powerful a force for evil as his grandpa Darth Vader. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he doesn't even know. Or maybe he is telling the truth. Maybe her parents were nobodies. In the first minutes of the next movie, the one we're talking about today, The Rise of Skywalker, we see Kylo's meeting with Emperor Palpatine, who, I mean, come on, maybe go see a dentist. Palpatine is in all the Star Wars trilogies. In the original trilogy, Palpatine is the Emperor of the Evil Galactic Empire and the Master of Darth Vader. In the prequel trilogy, Palpatine is the Sith Lord who turned the Good Galactic Republic into the Evil Empire. And in the and he's also in that one, the guy who turned young, innocent Anakin Skywalker to the dark side and into Darth Vader. In this newest trilogy, Palpatine is the mastermind behind the First Order, this new evil empire. Man, that is a lot of evil work he's done. No wonder he's never had time to go to the dentist. He's been like, he's been called the overarching villain of the entire Star Wars saga. So, Kylo meets with Emperor Palpatine, and Emperor Palpatine makes an offer to Kylo. He says, kill the girl and the Jedi, and you will rule all the galaxy as the new emperor. But beware, she is not who you think she is. To which Kylo Ren asks, who is she? Oh, wait. Nuh-uh. Hold up. No, he didn't. Nuh-uh. So in the last movie, Kylo was lying when he was trying to get with Rey, and he was all like, hey, why don't you come over sometime? And he used that old line we've all used at one time or another. You know, your parents were nobodies, so girl, you must have some daddy issues. Kylo didn't know who Rey's parents were. Rey doesn't know. And that's what everyone wants to know. Who is Rey really? Rey was just kind of dropped into the middle of this huge 9 movie, will it ever end story. We don't know how she fits and we don't know who she is. Do you ever feel like that? Like you were just kind of dropped into the middle of a story. You're not sure why you're here, and maybe not sure who you really are or who you are supposed to be. And that leads to this search, right? What we're trying to figure out, how did I get here? How do I fit into the world? And who am I? I think that's why Ancestry.com and 23andMe are so big, right? We're all asking the question Derek Zoolander asked, who am I, right? We're all trying to master his trademark poses, La Tigre, Magnum, Blue Steel. That's Zoolander. We're talking about Star Wars and Rey's search for her identity. And that search is actually more important than you might even realize. So there is all kinds of research that has been done on how people make their decisions, which is big, right? Because the decisions you make up your life, right? You make your decisions make your life. You decide your way into your career, your marriage, your biggest mistakes and regrets, achieving your goals. So how do we make our decisions? Well, we think that we rationally weigh the pros and the cons and we assess them. Nope. Research reveals that we make our decisions based on who we think we are. You do what you do because of what you think of you. That's why that lady keeps dating abusive boyfriends even though she doesn't want to be abused. Or that guy never gets his act together and pursues the career he dreams of. He just never goes for it. Or that kid who's really smart keeps getting bad grades. Why? It's because of their identity. Not their true identity, but who they think they are. That's what they're living out. Our identity is so important. And we need to know not who we think we are, but who we truly are. So, later in the movie, there's this dramatic scene where Kylo tells Rey the truth about her family, and she and we finally learn her last name, Palpatine. Old, evil, no dentist, snaggletooth Palpatine is her grandfather. That's her lineage. That's her family background. And as you might imagine, whew, that is difficult for Rey to hear. And she starts questioning, is that who I really am? Am I evil? Some of us wrestle with similar questions and feelings, right? Is who they were who I am? Am I just a bundle of DNA handed down to me by very imperfect people and doomed to be just like them? My last name, is it more than what I write as the second part of my signature? Does it tell the truth about me? And growing up with a father who was featured on America's Most Wanted and who just hurt so many people, I just couldn't help but think, that's in me. What if that is me? I have a friend who found out that her grandfather was in the mafia by walking through the mob museum here in Las Vegas. She's like walking through and like, why is Grandpa in that picture on the wall with all the mafia guys? Maybe you had a parent or a grandparent who was kind of evil or an addict, or you may have a family history that you feel ashamed of, or I don't know, this family, sin that just seems to be passed down one generation to the next. Like me, you might know that you weren't planned for or wanted at birth. Or like me, maybe you were abandoned by a parent. You might not even know who your dad was. Or it might not be your family of origin. It might be you. Maybe you've done something evil. or you just, you have this embarrassing history, right? You ended up somewhere you never meant to end up. Or it might be that something was done to you, like not your fault. But sometimes you just can't help feeling like maybe it was. And what was done to you, it makes you feel dirty, not clean, messed up. And we wonder, who am I? Who am I really? And like I said, the answer to that question is actually more important than you might even realize. Back to the movie. So Ray, she is so rattled by discovering her family lineage that she heads to the isolated planet where Master Luke Skywalker had trained her in the arts of the Jedi. And she's in this like self-imposed exile. Her soul is tortured knowing who she comes from. And then Luke Skywalker's Force spirit shows up, which I don't know, it's kind of like his ghost, but not like that, and definitely not like that. He just kind of looked like himself, and he talks to Rey and he shares good news with her. He tells her that Princess Leia, who is Luke's sister and also a Jedi, was fully aware of Rey's dark lineage, and Leia had trained Rey anyway. Rey was embraced despite her dark family background. Rey is stunned. She says in disbelief, "She still trained me?" And Luke has known about Rey's history, but he trained her anyway. Luke urges Rey to leave the island, to get back in the fight, and to go confront the Emperor. And she realizes that she was embraced, regardless of her family history or her past, that she was accepted unconditionally. That is good news, and she is ready to go. And that same good news applies to you and to me. Listen, you are embraced by God. Regardless of your family history or your past, you are loved unconditionally. You are not who they were. Do you know who else had a very questionable family background? Jesus. In the Bible book of Matthew, chapter 1, we are given the genealogy, kind of the ancestry.com of Jesus. It's one of those parts of the Bible that kind of reads boring. Like in the old-fashioned King James translation, it goes, "So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so?" And you read it and you're like, begat? It's telling who was Jesus' father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back. And if you research who those people were, you discover that Jesus' family tree is filled with liars, prostitutes, adulterers, murderers. And do you realize that when Jesus was born, his parents weren't married? Which, you know, it's kind of no big deal today, but back then was unheard of and would have made Jesus the bastard kid everyone in town looked down on. Jesus understands. He gets what it's like to be you, to wrestle with a questionable family background. And he embraces you regardless of your family history or your past. Jesus looks past the past and he sees who you really are. So, Who are you, really? Well, that brings us back one last time to the movie, and then we'll go back to the Bible. In the last scene of this movie, which is the trilogy of trilogies, Rey is now victorious. Learning that her past didn't define her empowered her. It allowed her to become what she was always supposed to become and to do what she was always supposed to do. Well, after the victory celebration, Rey visits Luke's childhood home, Tatooine. I don't even know if I say that right. While she's there, this old lady passes by and she looks at Rey and she says, "There's been no one here for so long. Who are you?" And Rey responds, "I'm Rey." And the old lady asks, "Rey who?" Well, off in the distance in the sky, the force spirits, the ghosts of Luke and Leia appear, and they're watching over her and they're smiling. And Rey tells the old lady her last name, Skywalker. It's like through the love and acceptance of Luke and Leia, she has been adopted into the Skywalker family. She has learned and embraced a truth that we learn and need to embrace from the Bible. Are you ready? Listen, the question of identity is not who am I, but whose am I? And you may struggle to figure out who am I, but whose am I? There is a very clear answer for that. In fact, it is a theme in the Bible. I'm going to show you just a few examples. So in the Bible book Galatians chapter 4, it says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son so that he could adopt us as his very own children. We are his children." God sent his son. We just celebrated Christmas in the last month. That's Christmas, God sending his son. Why did he send his son? So he could adopt us as his children. And then in another book of the Bible, Ephesians, it says, "God loved us and chose us. God decided to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." Listen, God knew everything about you. He knew about your family history. He knows what was done to you. He knows what you've done, and he loved you, and he chose you, and he decided to adopt you. And it gave him great pleasure. He was so happy to do it because he loves you so much. That's what we read in this next verse. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." And what that's saying is, and other people may not get it. They might hear your last name and think that's who you are. They might know what you did and think that's who you are. They might know where you've been and think that's who you are. But they just don't get it because they don't know him. You are God's child because you have been adopted by him. All you have to do to become God's child is agree to be adopted by him. God is not going to force himself on you. He gives you the choice, and you agree to be adopted by putting your faith in Jesus as the one sent by God so he could adopt you. Look what the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 12. It says, "But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." You believe in Jesus. You accept what he did on the cross for you, and you become a child of God. You believe, and then the Bible says you're baptized. Baptism is when a person, because of their faith, is lowered underwater and then raised up out of the water. It's like a celebration of your faith and of your adoption. The Bible says that you are baptized into Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says, all of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And when you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way you put on new clothes. Man, if you are ready to say yes to God's offer, to put your faith in Jesus, let us know. You can do that at verve.cc. That's our connection card and our kind of communication card, and you can let us know that you are thinking about getting baptized. Or if you've already said yes, you've already put your faith in Jesus, but you've just never been baptized, man, here's your chance. You can let us know at verve.cc that you want to do that. Whether you live here in Vegas or outside Vegas, we will help you to take that next step. And you know what happens then? You get a new life. You get a new life. Like Ray, learning that your past doesn't define you empowers you. It allows you to become what you were always supposed to become and to do what you were always supposed to do. Man, that's what happened to me. When I learned that I am not Vincent Shuffle, and that being Vincent Antonucci does not define me, that my identity is not defined by who am I, but whose am I, and whose I am. I am God's child. I am the one Jesus loves and died for. That set me free. Listen, you do what you do because of what you think of you. And when I thought of me, when what I thought of me changed, everything changed. And it's not just me. I mentioned my friend who found out her grandfather was in the mafia. Well, later in life, he learned about Jesus, that Jesus came so he could be adopted as God's child. He said yes, and his entire life changed. In fact, when he became a Christian, he got cancer, and he prayed that God would give him enough time to find all the people he had wronged so he could make things right. And he spent the last 5 years of his life doing just that. And that man was the grandfather of a friend of mine, Peyton Goucher's mother. Peyton is our next gen pastor, and it was his great grandfather who was in the mafia and whose entire life changed when he found out it's not who you are, it's whose you are. And the same can be true for you. Your entire life can be changed. And we're going to talk about this more in the weeks to come and in the new series that we're doing here soon. But for now, listen, you are not defined by your father's criminal record, your mother's decision not to be in your life, the line of abusive alcoholics in your family tree, you having an ancestor who was a child abuser or a clan member. Who they were is not who you are. And you are not defined by your worst sin, your greatest failure, your addiction, your time in prison, your divorce, your bankruptcy, or by what that person did to you or what those kids said about you. It's not who you are. It's whose you are. And if you just say yes and put your faith in him and what he did on the cross, you are God's child. You are the one Jesus loves and died for. That is good news. And that changes everything. And so let's pray for that. And then the band is going to do a song, and it's a chance for us to sing to it and worship God if you want to do that. Or maybe if you're like, man, I'm not there, you can just think about what you heard and about the decision you need to make to take a next step towards God. Let's pray. God, this is absolutely life-changing stuff. Would you help each of us to understand that we are not who we think we are? And that really, it's not who we are, It's whose we are. And you sent Jesus to adopt us so that we could belong to you. God, my prayer is that every person watching this, if they have in the past, might soon, I pray right now, just feel overwhelmed by your love and grateful for Jesus coming and say yes to putting their faith in him and having a relationship with being adopted by you. God, thank you for who I am, that nothing has ever put me beyond your love, and I belong to you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.